Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Socially Speaking. I'm your hostess, the Zenith. Well, yes, listeners, alhamdulillah, once again, more than a million believers are honored to become the guests of Allah and through divine guidance have completed the rituals of Hajj with great love and enthusiasm. How fortunate are those souls who are blessed with these words from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever performs Hajj for the pleasure of Allah and therein utters no words of evil nor commits any evil deed shall return from it free from sin as the day on which his mother gave birth to him. This comes from Bukhari and Muslim. Verily, there shall be no reward for a mabrur or an accepted Hajj except Jannah. Also from Bukhari and Muslim. It is hoped that all the pilgrims were sincere in their intentions and had traveled thousands of miles only to secure the pleasure of Allah by fulfilling the obligations that were laid down upon them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the pilgrims acceptance and grant them an opportunity again and again to visit the sacred land. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Now, what I'm going to share with you today, alhamdulillah, is, it's four Hajis that have returned and are returning. Some of them are still coming back from Hajj, alhamdulillah, and many of us that have performed Hajj as well. So it's for all of us, alhamdulillah, who have performed Hajj at some stage, and it's just a reminder to all of us, especially those who have performed Hajj. And also for those, like I said, that are coming back, that are back already, this great fifth pillar of Islam, Hajj, alhamdulillah. Now, this is a time of great change in your lives. This is going to be a real big transition. It's not going to be easy for anybody out there. I know all of us, especially those, now you will feel it, those that are still coming, those that have been for Hajj and have just returned. You know, all of us know what it feels like when you just come back from Hajj. It's such a big change that has to take place in your life, and it can be very, very scary. So this is a time of great change in your lives, okay? So we wish to draw the attention of the pilgrims towards certain points that are necessary and of utmost importance to observe, about which many pilgrims sometimes seem to attach no importance to. So, you know, just a reminder, just to make it easier for our listeners out there, for our Hajis especially out there. It's not an easy one, I dare say. I'd like to, however, share some points with you, dear Hajis, that will make this transition easy for you, inshallah. Of course, Allah knows best, and what we're going to do and talk about is what happens after Hajj. What do we do after Hajj? Or just what after Hajj? And I'm sure there's so many people out there that really wonder, you know, when we go back, what and how are we going to maintain our Hajj? And that is also something that I'm going to share with you a little later. I'll just share some important points with regards to that, how to maintain your Hajj, inshallah. I hope it will be beneficial to each and everyone out there. Firstly, the sincerity of intention should remain even after the performance of Hajj. There should be no pomp or show. So we have performed Hajj, so that doesn't mean that we must come out here and be, oh, we have performed Hajj, and there's nothing great. It's great to perform Hajj, alhamdulillah, but being a Haji doesn't make you any different from the next person out there again. That pomp and show we should not have. One should not wish to be called or recognized as a Haji. Unfortunately, you do get people that would actually make it a point that from now on you call me Haji so-and-so, Haji so-and-so. That is not the way we go. Many people adopt the habit of talking frequently about the journey in order that people may come to know about their Hajj or of their Hajj. They talk about the expenses incurred in the way of Allah, something we must not do. The charity that we have given to the poor and needy, what something we should not be divulging. Their devotion and worship, that is between you and Allah. You shouldn't be, showing off about it. When you are they're assisting the weak and the old and things like that. You know, what you have done for the pleasure of Allah. You have done it through, sincerely for the pleasure of Allah. So these are things that you should not be talking about. And all this is mentioned with the intention of gaining fame. So we do this just to gain some kind of fame. This is not what we do. This is a deceit from Shaitan who ruins the ibadah, the worship of the person who is unaware of it. It is therefore of great importance that a pilgrim does not talk about his or her Hajj without necessity, as it may lead to show or insincerity. However, if necessity arises and one must talk about his or her Hajj, then he or she is at liberty to do so. You can talk about it. It's not that you shouldn't be talking about your Hajj, but there's these things that you shouldn't be divulging when you do talk about your Hajj. But a pilgrim must not indulge in this type of conversation unnecessarily. You know, this is something that you have gone to do for the sake of Allah, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's between you and Allah. But if you have to talk about it out of necessity, then yes, you talk about it. But please remember, we do it not to show off about our Hajj. Secondly, it is noted through experience that many pilgrims return with nothing but sad memories or bad memories. They talk only about hardships that they have encountered during Hajj. Well, the pilgrims should strictly refrain from this. This is something we shouldn't be talking about. On the contrary, the pilgrim should talk about the greatness of the sacred places, the spiritual gains, the enjoyment in devotions of Haramain, Umrah, Tawaf, the Salam, on the sacred graves, Salah in the Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Nabawi, etc. We should talk about these, the good things that had happened to us. If one looks at our journey, at this Hajj journey of ours, if we look at it carefully, we will find that the spiritual benefits far outweighs the physical hardships. Every second spent in the sacred places is incomparable with anything else in the world. And, you know, this is something that any person that has performed Hajj will tell you. This is so different from anything that you have ever done in your life. It's something that will remain with you for the rest of your life. The journey of Hajj is a long journey. One has to travel by air, or maybe whatever means one has traveled by boat. There's people that even walk, or okay, not so much in these days, but I've even heard of somebody that had cycled all the way to for Hajj this year. You have to pass the immigrations, go through the customs, encounter people who speak foreign languages. You know, there's so much happening. In these circumstances, difficulties are certainly to arise. When we travel in our own, you know, for example, if we just travel in our own country, do we always travel with comfort and ease? No. Do we never encounter difficulties? Definitely not. We do. Do we not find ourselves held up in traffic for hours on a motorway? We know about that. Considering the fact that 3 to 4 million pilgrims, I think this year was not so many though, they perform the rituals of Hajj at one time, in one place, and that they all come from different countries and backgrounds, and that many of them have never before used or even seen the facilities available to them. We think the difficulties encountered are insignificant. We should remember that pilgrims are rewarded abundantly by Allah Almighty upon every difficulty encountered in their journey, whereas the same is not the case while we undertake other journeys. Imagine, you go anywhere else, you are not rewarded. You can travel anywhere else in the world, you are not rewarded for any of the difficulties that you encounter, or you know, for just you are obviously, it's good if you are traveling, of course your duas are accepted, I know that, but I mean, it's so different from Hajj. Those people who engage in these types of conversations become the cause of discouragement to others who have not yet had the opportunity to perform Hajj. And these unfortunate pilgrims fall into the category of, this is mentioned in Surah Al-Hajj, the one who stopped men from the way of Allah and from the sacred masjid. They should take heed that if people are discouraged by their conversation and as a result postpone their Hajj, then those who have discouraged them will be equally responsible. So if we have come back, have performed our Hajj, we should go out of our way to encourage other people to go out and perform their Hajj, inshallah. Don't discourage them in any way. Then thirdly, the sign of a mabrur Hajj or an accepted Hajj is that that upon one's return, you know, his or her life changes from worse to good. He or she becomes totally punctual in fulfilling the commands of Almighty Allah. His or her love and inclination towards the hereafter increases, and love for the worldly pleasure declines. Therefore, it is essential that the pilgrim is watchful over his or her actions and her conversations, and should also try their utmost to instill in themselves good characters and refrain from all types of evil. They should endeavor to fulfill the obligations laid down by Almighty Allah and avoid all the things forbidden by Him. So these are some of the things that would give you an indication that inshallah your Hajj is an accepted Hajj. One should also be punctual with the recitation of the Holy Quran and in performing his five salah with jama' in the masjid. Fourthly, the pilgrim should adopt the sunnahs of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially with regards to male's appearance, that is his clothes, his beard, etc. Now, what happens is once men sometimes return, maybe inshallah it will not happen, but it does happen sometimes when our men return from Hajj, the first thing they do is remove their beards and change their clothing completely again. Women, of course, also sometimes do this. Many of them don't, alhamdulillah, but there are some that would actually go back to their old way. But we should try our utmost to dress according to the laws of Islam, especially the wearing of the hijab. And our ladies out there, please, if you have returned, do not remove your scarves. Try not to, please. And yes, that is some of the the things that can happen after Hajj. I'm going to take a short break, of course, and when we return, inshallah, we're going to be sharing with you some advices on how to maintain your Hajj, inshallah. And this is for all of us out there, for our Hajjis that have returned, for our Hajjis that are on their way, inshallah, and for all of us that have performed Hajj. Just a reminder, inshallah, to bring us back onto the right path. Stay tuned, we'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zenith, and welcome to our program once again. Okay, now we spoke about what happens after Hajj. Now we're going to share with you just a few advices on how to maintain your Hajj, inshallah. Just a few, and easy ones, and you will then realize, alhamdulillah, that it really is not so difficult. And I think this is something that many of us feel, you know, wondering, will we be able to live the right way? Will we be able to maintain this Hajj that we have performed? Will we be able to be what we need to be? So listen, it's not so difficult out there. Really, when we come back, it's very overwhelming once again. So let's see what I've got to share with you. It says, Hajj is now over, and as the pilgrims return home to their loved ones, they take back with them, you know, a multitude of precious memories from the journey, lessons they'll hope to apply for the rest of their lives, and an elevated sense of spirituality. I don't think we ever in that kind or that level of spirituality that we are in when we are there on the plains of Arafat, when we are there for this whole Hajj season, alhamdulillah. You know, for many of us, those feelings of spirituality, that elevated sense of spirituality, those precious memories, those lessons that we've learned, these feelings can very quickly fade once we arrive home, because the contrast between the lands of Hajj and this, you know, our normal home environment is as striking as day against night. And many of us will agree with me, those that have performed Hajj already, and I'm sure many of our Hajjis that have returned are already starting to feel, you know, how it feels. It is difficult, but alhamdulillah, I hope after sharing this information with you, it will make it a little bit easier for all of you out there. I know it was very difficult for me when I returned from Hajj, that was many years ago. It was so difficult for me to get back into this normal way of living, and I'm sure many of you are going to feel the same way. It's almost as if Medina, Makkah, Mina, Arafah and Muzdalifah are not in the real world. You know, it's a world outside of this world, away from the responsibilities of family, of work and of home life. Hajj is like being in a totally, you know, just totally in another world, in another galaxy, one where everyone is geared towards worshipping Allah, where there's no crude advertising, no music, no images smacking you in the face every hour, and where the only worry each day that we have there is making it to the masjid to get a spot for the 5 compulsory prayers. You can be way in Makkah and Medina, you know, when azan goes, everybody leaves everything, and our salah is the first thing that we perform. You can be doing shopping, you would leave all your shopping and reach your salah first. But once you arrive home, you return to the environments of hardship, laziness and sin, despite all the wonderful gains from the weeks you've just spent as a guest of Allah. Maintaining a spiritual high under such circumstances is difficult, if not impossible. You know, you just don't want to get back to this normal way of living. But unfortunately, at some stage or the other, we have to get back to normal. While you know that the real work of Hajj only starts once you get home, and I think that is very important for us to know, that we have performed Hajj, inshallah, Allah has accepted our Hajj, but now our Hajj only starts now that we come home. So what we do now is going to determine a lot. The circumstances of normal life can soon erode all the ambitious plans you had for living the rest of your days as one of Allah's special people. You will experience a host of emotions. You will also find it so difficult to adjust to your old way of living, going back to your normal routine, fearing that you will lose out on that high level of spirituality that you had gained during those weeks that you were on Hajj, and of course during the Hajj, you know, preparing for your Hajj and also during your Hajj. Well, all I can share with you now and all I can tell you are there all our Hajjis that are returning and also those that have performed Hajj. Please hang on. Hang on. In such circumstances, it's easy to lose hope, seeing Hajj as a temporary high that in reality cannot be maintained as the months and years go by. But, you know, we shouldn't be thinking that way. That attitude would be incorrect, because with the right intentions, with sincere du'as and dedicated efforts, it is indeed possible to remain on a higher level, even if that level isn't quite as grand as what you'd hope for. Okay, it's not going to be what it used to be, what it was like, but it can still be there. So let me share with you a few advices, inshallah, and if we follow them, it will help us from slipping into that decline, you know, going into that decline, going back to our old way. We have to get back to our normal way of living, but we don't have to go back to what we were. So let's see how we can maintain our Hajj for life, inshallah. The first thing is to be realistic. According to Hadith, the most beloved deeds in Allah's estimation are those that are consistent. So important, very important for us. And Islam teaches us to be consistent in whatever we do, even if they are few. Of course, we're not going to be able to do what we did all the time. So now, even if they are just few, but we need to be consistent. You need not maintain the same levels of worship you had on your Hajj journey. But if you can keep just a few small and manageable ones and do them sincerely and consistently, alhamdulillah, you are already a winner. Maybe your salah, try never to miss your salah. It's just a few examples. Reading your Quran, you're not going to be able to read Quran whole day long, but read it regularly, even if it's just a little bit. Your dressing, try to still dress modestly. Try, you know, don't dispose of your scarf, don't dispose of your beards, things like that. Continue with your charity, continue with your zikr. These are little things that you can continue with, but do it consistently. And then stay purified, stay clean. Now, after being totally purified on Arafah, your clean soul recognizes your new sins and mistakes much more easily. But you won't stay that pure forever. And Allah doesn't expect you to remain that way. All of mankind sins. We all sin at some stage or the other. But the best of those who sin are those who repent and return to Allah. It's important for you to recognize that you slipped, that you've made a mistake, that you've sinned. But you should follow up immediately. Follow up with those sins and those mistakes with immediate repentance. Immediately ask Allah to forgive you for what you have done. In this way, you can keep your slate as clean as possible, inshallah. Even when you don't recognize sins, you know, even if you're not even aware of what you may have caused or made a, you know, committed a sin somewhere along the line, you may not even be aware of it, but make it a habit of daily istighfar. In other words, seeking forgiveness from Allah. It is reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made istighfar 100 times a day. So making istighfar not only helps keep you spiritually clean, but it also gives you more points for following a sunnah. So remember that. Whether you make a mistake or you don't, you know, continuously make istighfar, alhamdulillah. And if you know that you've made a sin, committed a sin, if you've made a mistake, then immediately, you know, make istighfar or ask for forgiveness. Keep pelting for life. Now you must be wondering, how am I going to do that? Well, remember the spiritual significance of pelting the Jamarat. After Shaitan was humiliated on the day of Arafah, he's even more determined now to corrupt you, you know, now that you are back home. So, just as you stoned Shaitan in those days, whenever you notice his whisperings or his temptations coming to you, coming back to you, or coming home to you, then all you do is repeat that pelting in your mind. You know, just do the pelting, repeat that pelting in your mind. You chased him away in Mina, you can do it again now. So you can still remember to keep pelting him all the time, but this time you're going to do it in your mind. Protect your senses from spiritual filth. Stay away from sights and sounds that would corrupt your heart. And if you do happen to hear or see them, immediately try to erase these effects by replacing those experiences with something better. For example, if you see a non-mahram of the opposite sex in indecent clothing, then immediately look at something else that is halal and try to make, you know, that image that's, you know, to remove that image, that bad image from your mind by putting the good image into your mind so that it sticks in your mind. And if you hear music around you, which is, you know, everywhere you go these days, just try and recite or listen to the Quran immediately and let that push the music out of your memory. Remember that Shaitan uses your senses as the gateway to corrupting your heart in a slow and a gradual way. So close those gates, be on guard, and have your spiritual eraser ready. So just be ready. Anything wrong you see, anything wrong you hear, then just push it out by doing something halal. Well, it's very, very sad to leave Makkah, especially after you've made your final tawaf and you left the grand mosque like millions of others before you. You dream of doing, or rather going back for Hajj again. But to make this desire a reality, those feelings need to move beyond just our nostalgia and our emotional yearning. Allah promises us that if we're grateful, He will give us more. So what we need to do is be grateful. It's very sad, really, to leave Makkah and Medina and all the people that have just performed their Hajj and are leaving there and have left will know what I'm talking about. And of course those that have performed Hajj, it's such a sad feeling. But we need to be grateful. We need to thank Allah for having taken us there in the first place, and then ask Allah and, you know, to take us back again. So be grateful. Thank Allah for having given us this opportunity, but also remember to make dua that inshallah He will take us back again. And it said, and remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will surely increase you in favor, but if you deny, indeed my punishment is severe. This comes from the Quran, chapter 14, verse 7. So if you show true gratitude for the journey that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just granted you, inshallah, you can earn an invitation to go again. Appreciate what you had through your actions by striving to live the best you can as close to Allah as you can. And I'd just like to leave you with something, for all our pilgrims out there. Dear pilgrim, you stood at Arafah, you shed tears, and you showed remorse over your previous misdeeds. Allah the Almighty emancipated you from hell, that is from Jahannam, so beware of regressing to sins after being forgiven by Allah, or drawing near to Jahannam after being saved from it. Be determined to make your Hajj a turning point in your life. Reckon yourself and determine what influenced your Hajj and upon your heart, attitude and words and deeds. Keep doing good deeds, even if they are little, because regular small deeds are better than interrupted greater ones. You should know that deeds which Allah the Almighty loves most are the most regular and constant ones, even though they were little. So yes, respected listeners, may Allah accept your Hajj from you, help you to maintain it until you reach the end of your life, and take you there again, inshallah, so that you may step up to even higher levels of spirituality and closeness to Him, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala, I would also like to ask Allah to accept our good deeds and provide us with steadfastness and uprightness until death, inshallah. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إذا طلعت شمس النهار فإنها أمارة تسليمي عليكم فسلموا
سلام من الرحمن في كل ساعة
وروح وريحان وفضل